This is KevinX copyrighted content, created specifically for our small business owner customers who are out there doing it all. No matter if you're a seasoned sales pro or just starting out, this audio guide is for you, especially if you're a small business owner. Our goal here is to help you learn, or maybe just rediscover, some proven ways to boost your chances of closing more deals. Let's be honest, we all face similar challenges when it comes to selling, right? It's a demanding job. Now, I don't claim to have all the answers, but I promise my tips will definitely pump up your selling capabilities. This guide is meant to be an easy listen. The content really works, but here's the key: you've got to actually apply these tips to your own sales strategy. I truly hope you enjoy listening and that you profit immensely from the time you spend with it. Chapter 1: Know what you're selling. All right, let's kick things off with Chapter 1. Knowing what you're selling. Think about it, nobody's going to buy from you if it's not crystal clear what you're actually offering. You add a huge amount of value to your buyer when you can clearly explain the benefits of your service. What you need to know really depends on what you're selling and who your ideal customers are. Here's tip number 1, personalize what you sell. You know, if you or I go on a job interview, we'd be asked a ton of questions about ourselves. We'd totally be expected to explain everything there is to know about us and why we should get hired. Good interview questions can even reveal things about us we might not have even thought about before. Buyers are just like those interviewers. You'd better truly know your offering inside and out. Next up, tip number 2, seek out the experts. If you can, try to learn from folks who've really nailed it with what you're selling. Buying them lunch here and there can seriously pay off big time. You get to pick the brain of someone who genuinely understands your business. And get this, they don't even have to be in sales. In fact, sometimes it's even better if they aren't. I call these people the subject matter experts, and you'll learn even more about them in the next chapter. Moving on to tip number 3, test your knowledge. If you feel like you've got a good handle on your service or offering, try pitching it to someone. You've got to start with a little bit of knowledge and just build your way up. Can you explain your service in just 2 sentences? Give it a shot. Keep trying until you can do it. Tip number 4, if you don't know the answer, say so. No matter how much we know about what we're selling, there are definitely going to be times we don't have all the answers. I own my own business, so you'd think I'd know everything there is to know about my offerings, but I don't. If you don't know the answer to a prospect's question, make sure you clearly understand the question, jot it down, and then honestly tell them you don't know, but you will find out. Then, of course, follow up with that answer. Tip number 5, the more you know, the better you'll be. Credibility is a massive part of selling. If your buyer doesn't trust you, you're pretty much sunk. You'll earn their respect if you're knowledgeable and truly helpful during the sales process. So, the more you know about your service, the better you'll genuinely do in sales. Here's tip number 6, plain English, please. It's super easy to get all caught up in industry jargon and technical terms. My background is mostly in technology sales. And let me tell you, we have 3-letter acronyms for everything, including 3-letter acronyms. Using this kind of language just doesn't work with prospects. It's crucial that you show off your knowledge, but don't baffle your listeners with jargon they won't understand. Tip number 7, role-playing rocks, sometimes. Now, I'm not a huge fan of role plays when they're used to test your selling skills. After all, a good salesperson is a better listener than a talker. However, they can be incredibly useful for figuring out how deep your knowledge really goes. Find someone who truly understands your service, and then role play for them. It's a great way to test your knowledge without, you know, burning through a bunch of actual prospects. Tip number 8, know why customers buy what you sell. No matter what you're selling, you absolutely need to know why prospects buy things and how they might use them. For example, I use a pool guy because, well, I don't enjoy maintaining our pool, but I sure do love using it. Our pool cleaner got our business because he made it clear that I could just enjoy the pool and he'd handle everything else. He knew my needs and delivered the service perfectly. Tip number 9, take notes and more notes. I forget things pretty easily, so my office is usually scattered with composition books full of notes about the services and knowledge I need for my job. I've had a few salespeople come into training classes and not take a single note. That was not only disrespectful of the presenter's time, but a totally missed opportunity to learn more about our offerings. Tip number 10, try the mom test. I've sold some really technical products to very sophisticated markets. And here's what I've learned: no matter how complicated the technology, you must explain your service knowledge in a way anyone can understand. I always try out my knowledge pitch on my mom. She's a smart person, but she doesn't know anything about the markets I sell to. If she can grasp my service pitch, understand the value it provides, and even ask some questions, I've probably nailed it. It doesn't have to be your mom. Try a friend, your favorite bartender, or even the mail carrier. You'll be amazed at how much they want to help you succeed. Tip number 11, BS is BS. Just tell the truth, no matter how much you want the business. Integrity is absolutely paramount to being successful in sales. If you're always truthful with your prospects and clients, you'll establish yourself as a credible resource, even if you don't win the deal this time. Just do the right thing every single time. Tip number 12, service knowledge goal setting. Pick just a few elements of your service that you want to learn more about. Then, put together a simple plan for how you'll get that knowledge and use it. Don't try to boil the ocean. Start with small bites and work your way up. Tip number 13, be a service expert. Share the knowledge. You'll be amazed at how your professional life changes once you gain a decent amount of service knowledge. Not only will selling become easier, but you'll also become a go-to resource for others. If you work in a larger company where new sales pros are being hired, volunteer to share your knowledge with the new kids. It builds you up and helps them out. And finally, for this chapter, tip number 14. It's an ongoing process. Being in sales is truly a lifelong learning journey. You have to commit to learning as much as you can about your service. Buyers' needs change often. And if you can't keep up, well, you'll lose those sales. I remember one day I was walking through O'Hare Airport in Chicago. I overheard a business professional on the phone, I assume with someone from his own company or maybe a supplier. He asked a question that has stuck with me for years. How can I sell something when I don't even know what it is I'm selling? The answer, plain and simple. You can't. Chapter 2. You need a team. Let's dive into Chapter 2. You need a team. Whether you're working in a big corporate environment or you're self-employed, you absolutely need a team to support your sales efforts. The best sales professionals out there totally get this. Having an internal or external team to back you up is just a smart way to sell. This team adds incredible value by giving you knowledge and support. And if you're the leader of that team, make sure you're really leveraging all the skills your team members bring to the table. Here's tip number 15. See the big picture. Remember, there will always be different needs among your team members. That's actually what drives the overall business forward. For you to be successful, solid services and support from others are essential. What drives your success, like creative thinking and negotiation, often isn't the same as what drives the support teams. Their success is typically about predictability, which, let's be honest, good sales efforts can sometimes disrupt. Next, tip number 16. It really is a team. Working with your operations team, for instance, is a true partnership. Even though you might have different goals, remember that both teams depend on each other. The more you can highlight common goals and offer a shared vision for success to both teams, the much more likely you are to get what you need. And here's a fun one. Tip number 17. Everyone loves donuts. When in doubt, bring donuts. Seriously, food is an excellent way to show appreciation or ease tensions during really intense periods. Find a food that everyone enjoys. It doesn't have to be fancy or expensive. Donuts, pizza, chicken wings, they all work wonders. Tip number 18, job well done. Make sure you recognize the efforts of your support teams often. Being recognized for good work is genuinely appreciated. And when it makes sense, remember to acknowledge the efforts of the management teams too. It goes a long way. Tip number 19, keep them informed. Always keep your operations teams in the loop about pending sales and opportunities, and provide updates on your progress, even when things aren't successful. Key things like sales opportunities are important for the entire company to share, and this kind of communication often gets overlooked. Tip number 20, being sensitive can be cool. Be sensitive to other people's feelings. In particular, please don't share information about reward trips or other forms of recognition that are only offered to the sales teams. It can create unnecessary tension. Tip number 21, bumps in the road. Early and frequent communication is absolutely key, especially if there might be a problem brewing. Be proactive about looking for and anticipating those client and prospect decisions that could impact your operations and support teams. Highlight these early, especially if you might need extra support or modifications. This allows for a planned response when those problems actually pop up. Tip number 22, reasons behind no. Development, client support, and professional service teams often work under significant limitations, like budget constraints. If the answer to a request or enhancement is a resounding no, try to look beyond that negative response and really consider the reasons for the answer. Often, these teams are just as motivated to deliver on your request as you are, but they're simply limited by internal policies, processes, or budget. This can be just as frustrating for them as it is for you. Tip number 23, take them with you. Involve your support teams in sales demos whenever possible, even if they're just silent observers. It's sometimes really hard to fully appreciate what's driving the market until you hear it firsthand from clients and prospects. It's a great learning opportunity for everyone. And finally, for this chapter, tip number 24. We're all in it together. Share your excitement with your operations teams. The overall goals and objectives in driving success within the company are actually the same for everyone. You know, many of us in sales like to think of ourselves as cowboys or lone wolves. We're out in the field every day, chasing new business to close. And anyone not in sales, back at our company, just gets in our way, right? I used to have that mindset, but not anymore. It's just plain wrong. Success is a team sport. Chapter 3, Target Market IQ. All right, on to Chapter 3, Target Market IQ. This one's big. Invest the time and energy it takes to really understand your ideal prospects. Having a laser-like focus in this area will seriously pay off. Think about the types of potential customers that fit your perfect sweet spot and then group them. Think locally too. What sells great in Boston might not go over the same way in Madison. If you know who you should be calling on and why, your sales results are going to skyrocket. Let's start with tip number 25. Know the market you sell into business to business. Regardless of the service, you need to have a high-level understanding of the market you're going after. In a business-to-business sale, you've got to research the buyers you're targeting. If you're going after a bank, for instance, you should know that big banks have completely different needs than small banks. Selling to a group of doctors is also very different from selling to a solo practice. Tip number 26, know the market you sell into business to consumer. Selling to consumers can, and absolutely should, be researched and segmented too. Think about the demographics of the prospect you're targeting. Every fall, I'm amazed by how crazy college football fans get. They'll buy anything with their favorite team's colors and logos. I once heard of an entrepreneur who made a ton of money selling satellite dish covers with college logos. Now, that was a salesperson who truly understood the market they were selling to. Here's tip number 27. Search engines and websites. Google, Yahoo, Bing. They're all fantastic ways to get smart about the markets you want to sell into. Market-specific websites are also great sources of information. Most segments have associations with their own websites. Check them out. You'd be amazed at what you can find. Tip number 28, trade shows and expos. Attending functions geared towards your target markets really pays off big time. You'll discover the latest trends and what other companies are selling. Plus, you'll have the chance to mingle with prospective clients. If you're not sure which events to attend, just ask your current clients and prospects. They'll be able to help you figure out which trade shows and expos are worth your time. Tip number 29, join associations. Participate too. A brilliant way to gain market knowledge is to join associations related to your target markets. They're always looking for subject matter experts. That's you. Being part of an organized group will give you multiple opportunities to learn new things and make fantastic connections. Tip number 30, read everything you can get your hands on. books, newsletters, trade journals related to your market segment can be incredible resources. Set these aside and read them whenever you can. You'll really impress prospects when you can discuss relevant industry news. Credibility is absolutely critical, no matter what you sell. Tip number 31, research your competition, part one. You should definitely know who your best and biggest competitors are. You have to be a good spy, think burn notice, even if you don't have the cool sunglasses, to keep up with what your competition is doing. Go to their websites and see what kind of industry content they have. Set up search engine alerts so you know when they have a new announcement. Do online searches using the competition's name and see what pops up. Tip number 32, research your competition, part two. When you're researching the competition, it's a great idea to create pros and cons lists. This way, you can clearly see how you stack up against them. Sometimes, what you consider a strength might actually be what your competitor views as your weakness. For example, you might say, "We're a small company that provides personalized service and fast responses to our clients." But they might be saying, "That competitor," meaning you, "is small and has very few clients, so they're not a long-term concern for us." It's all about perspective. Tip number 33, never be negative about your competition. Don't take your competition too personally. After all, they're just trying to make a living too. Most importantly, never say negative things about your competition to your prospects. It's just not a good practice, and it reflects poorly on you. Tip number 34, be organized. You'll be gathering a lot of market intelligence, so keep it organized and easy to access. Set up folders on your computer specifically for the research material you want to store. It's so much easier finding what you want when it's well organized. Tip number 35, commit to being the expert. Early on in my sales career, I was content just being one of the guys, making good money, traveling a lot, and just having fun. Later, I realized I wanted more for my career. So I invested time and resources into really getting good at the market I was selling into. Little by little, my reputation as someone who truly knew the space I sold in grew. You can absolutely do the same in your market. Tip number 36, market knowledge goal setting. Earlier this year, I decided to learn more about how companies in my segment were using online social networking. I already knew how to use it personally, but I wanted to know how my market uses it. Are you making similar knowledge distinctions? It's about getting specific. You know, I'm probably like some of you, I love to sell, but I also love to be sold to. A sales professional who understands me as a buyer and knows why I would want to purchase what they're selling is practically at a sale already. I can't help it. However, I'm no pushover. I say no many more times than yes. Why? Because many sales professionals just don't take the time to find out my needs, focusing instead on what they're selling. Big mistake. Chapter 4. Hello, it's me. All right, let's jump into Chapter 4. Hello, it's me. This is all about finding new prospects. Our success in sales completely depends on keeping our supply of fresh prospects as full as possible. Knowing what you're selling, having a great team to back you up, and clearly understanding your market's needs are fantastic starts. But you still need prospects, and you need to know exactly how you're going to get them. So, for tip number 37, cold calling dues, before you even pick up the phone and start smiling and dialing, really think about what you're going to say. What's your unique value statement? Why are you calling? Why should they even want to talk to you? Put yourself in the prospect's shoes. What would a salesperson have to say to grab your attention? This can actually be a lot of fun if you get creative. Now for tip number 38, voicemail. If you hit voicemail on a cold call, just hang up. Your chances of someone returning a cold call voicemail are about as good as winning the lottery. You have no upside and lots of downside risk. Don't leave a message. Next, tip number 39, email. Prospecting. Don't burn the URL. Email prospecting can work, but you really need a solid understanding of direct marketing to be successful. Honestly, leave this up to the pros and instead focus on more traditional prospecting methods, especially if you're a small business doing it all. Did you know that just one spam complaint can jeopardize your company's URL? That's right, too many spam complaints, and your URL is toast. You don't want that. Here's a crucial one, tip number 40. Have fun. Not many of us love cold calling. It's just a part of this business we all have to deal with. If you hate prospecting and have a bad attitude about it, you'll likely come across as a grump to the prospect. Try to keep a smile on your face and genuinely have fun. If you sound like you're enjoying yourself, the prospect will pick up on that and be more open to what you have to say. Tip number 41, cold calling don'ts. When your prospect answers the phone, don't be a friendly Freddy. This means don't try to make small talk about the weather, sports, or ask, how's it going? And definitely don't ask them if you've caught them at a bad time. And again, if you get voicemail, don't leave a message. Tip number 42, telephone common sense. Try to call from somewhere with little to no background noise. Prospects really hate it when someone calls and they can't hear or understand a person they don't even know. It just screams unprofessional. Tip number 43, caller ID. If you're calling businesses, try to have your caller ID turned off by the phone company. If a prospect sees you're calling them 10 plus times a day, you're going to get labeled as just a salesperson, or even worse, a stalker. For consumer-based calling, turning off the caller ID is also a good idea. Consumers on the do not call list won't even get your calls. Tip number 44, what's your edge? What makes your service better than anyone else is offering? Identifying and effectively communicating your edge is absolutely key. Great customer service, for instance, is an excellent edge. Are you providing it? Really think about what makes you stand out. Tip number 45, right company, wrong contact. If you make a call and find out you've reached the wrong person or department, turn it into an opportunity. Ask the person you're speaking with who you should call. When you follow up with the new person, use the first person's name to add a bit of credibility. Something like, I was just speaking with Al in shipping, and he suggested I call you. That sounds a lot less like a cold call than it really is, doesn't it? Tip number 46, research your prospect. Cold calling is so much easier if you have a lead-in from something you read or heard about the company. If you read in your local newspaper that a local ad agency just won an award, send the partners a congratulations note. Then you can follow up later, congratulate them again, and give them your pitch. It creates a natural connection. Tip number 47, research your prospect number 2. Go online and research the backgrounds of the individual prospects you want to contact. You might be surprised about what you have in common with some of them. Maybe you worked for the same employer, went to the same college, or grew up in the same state. Anything you can leverage about a prospect's background will work to your favor. It's all about finding that connection. Tip number 48, have a little competition. Prospecting is tough, but making it a game can really lighten your mood. Do you have other salespeople in your firm? I've done this a lot during prospecting exercises, and it really works. Get the sales folks together and have an informal contest. Whoever gets the most leads that day, wins bragging rights, lunch, beers, whatever you want to bet. It makes a tedious task a lot more fun. Tip number 49, measuring prospecting success. In direct marketing, companies often do A/B testing of campaigns to determine which of two ads works best. You can do the exact same thing with your prospecting messages. Think of two different ways you can pitch your service. Then, try them out on prospects and see which one works the best. Learn and adapt. Tip number 51, prospecting call can equal more prospects. Every now and then we get lucky and land an awesome prospect from our calling. When that happens, you have a fantastic opportunity while you have them on the phone. Ask them who else they know who might be interested in your offering. Make sure the initial contact knows you appreciate it. When you call the lead the first prospect gave you, be sure to mention you were referred and who referred you. It boosts your credibility immediately. Tip number 51, data gathering, follow-up. When you have an interested prospect, try to gather as much information from them as you can before you end the call. Get the correct spelling of their name, email address, mailing address, and title. Repeat it back to them to make absolutely sure it's correct. Then, send them a follow-up note after speaking with them, thanking them for taking the call and restating any action items you may have discussed. It shows professionalism and attention to detail. Tip number 52, don't put down what they already have. This happens a lot, and it really shouldn't. You find a prospect who's using another solution. Don't tell them how totally dumb they are or how bad the competitor's service is. Instead, focus entirely on the benefits of your service. Highlight what you offer that they might not be getting. Tip number 53, send me over some info blow-off. When a prospect asks you to just send over a brochure or a website link, that's often the classic get the sales guy off the phone routine. When this comes up, ask to schedule a time to discuss what you'll be sending them. This will really help you qualify your newfound prospect. If they're not willing to commit to a follow-up discussion, they're probably not a hot lead. Tip number 54, celebrate. When you've had success with your prospecting, take a moment to celebrate a little bit. Treat yourself for persevering through a tough day. I've also found that a great call can lead to another. Remember the tip about attitude? If you sound like a winner who knows what you're talking about, prospects will be more likely to listen to your pitch. Celebrating helps you feel like a winner, and that positive energy carries over. Tip number 55, don't waste your time. Chatty Cathys and chatty Carls are a huge waste of time. They'll take your calls, listen politely, and talk to you at great length, but they will never buy anything from you. As soon as you figure out you have one on the line, end the conversation as nicely as you can. It's tempting to keep chatting, but don't fall into this trap. Your time is valuable. Tip number 56, duds and brain drains. I have three large companies I just refuse to call on. Over the years, each one has wasted countless hours of my selling time. They've never once bought a single service from me. Their typical move is to bring in vendors, brain drain all their ideas, and then build it themselves. Maybe later in my career I might try again, but for now, they're on my do not call list. You should do the same if you have duds and brain drains in your sales territory. Prioritize your efforts. Tip number 57. When the prospect is a jerk, it happens all the time. You're cold calling, you got your happy game face on, and someone decides to take a bad day out on you over the telephone. The natural thing, at least for me, is to fight back, but that's not the wise thing to do. Instead, just smile, thank them for their time, and hang up. Then move on to the next prospect. Don't get yourself all worked up over it. It's not worth your energy. And finally, for this chapter, tip number 58, make it a habit. It's easy to get a couple of leads and then get sidetracked. You have to push prospects through the selling cycle, but you also have to keep accumulating new leads regularly. Make it a goal to prospect each day. My very first sales job was selling accounting software to travel agencies. I cold called 20 to 30 business owners every single day, door to door, in cities all over the East Coast. My goal was to get the prospect interested enough that they'd want to come to our home office and see a demo. Prospecting was hard work back then, and it's still hard work today, but it absolutely has to be done. Chapter 5, it's showtime. All right, let's get into Chapter 5. It's showtime. In sales, we always have to hope for the best, but honestly, plan for the worst. When the opportunity pops up for us to make our sales pitch, we better be prepared. We should know every imaginable question a prospect will ask and every objection that could possibly be raised. Let's start with tip number 59, know your meeting audience. Know exactly who you're going to be meeting with. What roles do they play? Who do they report to? How long have they been with the company? Do some online searches of the attendees' names. Find out where they've worked previously, see where they went to school. The more you know, the better prepared you'll be. Tip number 60, goals, prospects. Make absolutely sure you fully understand your prospects' goals. If they have multiple things they want to hear or see during your meeting, ask your contact to prioritize them. You need to understand 100% of the prospect's goals in advance. No surprises. Tip number 61, goals yours. Okay, we're sales pros, so we all want to make a sale, right? In many cases, you might even expect to close the deal during your meeting. In others, your goal might simply be to advance the sales process. You need to be realistic in your goal setting for each meeting. Tip number 62, bait and tackle. Selling is a lot like fishing. We want to catch something, in our case, a sale. Good fishermen match their bait and tackle to the specific fish they're targeting. You should do the same. Match your presentation to your audience. Selling to a crew boss of an oil rig is going to be very different from selling to a New York banker. This sounds simple, but I've seen tons of meetings where the sales pro just didn't match the bait to the fish, and it rarely works out. Tip number 63, handouts. I typically bring two types of material to my presentations. In one packet, I'll have hard copies of the meeting agenda, the agreed-upon goals, yours and the prospects, and an outline of the material I plan to cover. Everyone at the meeting gets a copy of these items right away. The second set of handouts is additional information for the conclusion of the meeting. This might include brochures, reference lists, and contracts. Never hand these out before the meeting, or you'll lose the buyer's attention completely. Tip number 64, know the battlefield. We've already talked about knowing your audience. Now, we need to really understand the roles they'll actually play in your sales process. This is where a whiteboard comes in super handy in your office. If you don't have one, just use a large piece of paper, but forget your computer for this exercise. Draw out an organizational chart with the decision maker at the very top. Then, connect the others based on their reporting structure. Add anything you know about each contact. This includes whether they've used a competitor's service before, or if they might even prefer one. It helps you visualize the landscape. Tip number 65, advanced planning. Get a good lay of the land. Know exactly where your prospect is located and how to get there. I always give myself an extra 45 minutes to arrive, just in case of traffic or getting turned around. I also strongly suggest finding out exactly which room you'll be meeting in because it's critical to know the layout. How many people will be in the room? How will the chairs be positioned? Will there be whiteboards or projectors available? The more you know, the smoother it will go. Tip number 66, stand or sit. I'm usually inclined to stand during a presentation to three or more people. For smaller groups, I'll sit. Just don't take the decision maker's chair. When it's showtime, you should be the center of attention. Standing often helps convey that. Tip number 67, names, names, and names. Introductions should always be a part of the meeting kickoff. Make sure you jot down the names in a way that will allow you to correctly address each person in the group. Calling someone the wrong name is a huge mistake you definitely don't want to make. I usually draw a quick sketch of the room and mark who's sitting where. Tip number 68, restate the prospect's goals. Early on in the meeting, restate your prospect's goals. It's not unusual for goals to shift a bit in sales situations. If the goals have changed, you'll need to readjust your meeting and your handouts, and make sure your attendees do the same thing. That way, you're all on the same page before the meeting really gets going. Tip number 69, know the schedule. Before the meeting, you should have found out how much time you have to present. You've created an agenda based on this time. During the meeting kickoff, reconfirm with your prospects, how much time is actually available. They might now have less time than you thought, or you might get lucky and they might have more time. It's good to know up front. Tip number 70, death by PowerPoint. Please don't try to bore your audience to death by having too many slides in your deck. I have a maximum of 15 slides when I present. In fact, I'll try to keep it under 10 slides, which I'm usually able to do. You might even be able to get by without any slides. Think of that UPS commercial with the whiteboard guy. Sometimes less is truly more. Tip number 71. Questions are your friend. I actually welcome questions during a presentation. They keep things interactive and really engage your audience. However, remember that you are in control of the meeting. So don't let questions completely reconfigure your agenda on the fly. In other words, don't jump around your agenda just to answer questions. When someone gets ahead of your outline, simply acknowledge the question and offer to address it later in the presentation. Tip number 72, manage the clock. Running out of time during a sales presentation happens frequently. You can reduce that risk by sticking to your own pace, not getting sidetracked, and subtly watching the clock. I either use my computer's clock or glance at my watch when someone else is speaking or when the attention is away from me. It helps you stay on track without being obvious. Tip number 73, feature fatalities. Don't try to baffle your prospects with a bunch of feature names that simply mean nothing to them. Focus instead on the benefits of your service features and what they actually provide to your customers. Here's what not to do. My service provides key metrics tracking for your email campaigns. What you should say: my service lets you know exactly who opened your emails, how often, and who they forwarded them to. That means your sales guys can call on the hottest leads. See the difference? Focus on the benefits. Tip number 74, personalize your pitch. If you're selling to a cardiologist, don't keep referencing how well beauty salons that bought your service are doing. You'll gain way more credibility by talking about how others in the same market segment have succeeded with your offering. This helps you really connect with your prospect on a deeper level. Tip number 75, peanut gallery and naysayers. It's not unusual to have combative attendees in your audience. Just take the high road and keep your cool. Chances are, others in the room are used to the objector's poor behavior. They've either become immune to it or they simply ignore it. You should do the same while always remaining professional and polite. Don't let them throw you off your game. Tip number 76, pricing prowess. There are lots of different ways to handle the question, how much does this cost? I usually handle this by explaining my pricing model without getting specific about the actual cost for this particular prospect in the meeting. For example, I might say, pricing is based on three components: an upfront fee based on usage, a training fee, and an annual fee after the first year. As a follow-up to today's meeting, I'll prepare a formal quote and deliver it within 48 hours. This way, I keep the meeting focused on selling the benefits to the prospect and not getting bogged down in the exact cost right then and there. Tip number 77, re-restate the prospect's goals. At the very end of the meeting, I restate the goals that were agreed upon at the beginning. I want agreement from the group that those goals were indeed met. If there are any unmet goals, I want to address them while I'm still in the room. If you sell over the telephone, you'll want to do the same while you still have the group or buyer on the line. It's a great way to tie things up and ensure alignment. Tip number 78, who owes whom? It's pretty common to have a list of to-dos at the end of a meeting. Towards the conclusion of your presentation, make sure everyone involved, both you and the prospect, knows who owes what to whom and when those deliverables will actually be delivered. For example, if you offered a referral, state when it will be delivered and push to schedule a follow-up call. Clear next steps are vital. Tip number 79, pitching the quote. Okay, this is a really good thing. You have a prospect and they want a price quote. You feel confident your service will benefit them. Don't just create a proposal, include the price, and fax or email it to them. Instead, schedule a time with the right prospect contacts and walk them through it. Make sure they completely understand your proposal. This will ensure your quote is properly communicated within your prospect's firm or household, and it gives you another chance to sell. Tip number 80, follow through. Make sure everything you said you'd deliver to the prospect after the meeting is completed. How you perform for the prospect as a sales professional is often how they'll measure how you'd perform as a vendor. So, do what you say you'll do. Be prompt, professional, and perform beyond reasonable expectations. I once had a sales manager with a theory about planning: plan for the worst. He was a young guy back when the U.S. still had a military draft. Sensing he was close to being selected, Bob decided to enlist voluntarily because he was promised a placement in a military band. Just weeks into his musical military career, the band was transformed into a frontline flamethrower unit. That's where Bob created his plan for the worst philosophy. You've got to be ready for anything. Chapter 6, close the deal. All right, we've made it to chapter 6. Close the deal. This is where the magic happens. Sales isn't just about talking. We actually have to be great listeners too. If we do all the talking, we never give the prospect a chance to say, okay, I'm ready to buy. If every objection and question has been dealt with, and the prospect is still engaged, it's time to ask for the order. You've earned this opportunity. Let's dive in with tip number 81. Do you understand your prospect's needs? Sometimes we try to close the sale before it's fully ready. Do you really understand what your buyer's issues are? If you've taken good notes, review them with your prospect and see if they agree. If they do, you've done a good job of listening. If not, find out what you missed before pushing for the close. Tip number 82. Does your prospect really understand your solution? Okay, you know the buyer's issues. Now, do they understand what it is you want to sell them in order to fix these issues? Forget the features of your offering for a moment. Focus purely on the benefits of your service. Is it truly a fit? Are you absolutely sure? Tip number 83. Have you addressed every question or issue? Even the smoothest selling cycles, which are few and far between, have hiccups. If your prospect has raised questions or issues, make absolutely sure you've clearly addressed them, and then confirm that the prospect is comfortable with your response. Leave no lingering doubts. Tip number 84. It's a lousy economy. Ah, the old "it's a lousy economy" objection. No doubt the economy can stink sometimes, but is that the real issue? Or has an uncovered objection just popped up? In my experience, budget objections often hide some other underlying issue that hasn't been brought to light. You need to dig deeper with this prospect to find out the true reason. Tip number 85, drop-dead dates. Do they work? They only work if they are clearly stated and you truly intend to stand 100% behind them. Make your pitch, communicate the drop-dead date, and if that date passes, pitch a new deal. I'm no fan of discounts. In fact, I hate them. But I will sometimes add a minor service to the deal to sweeten it a bit. If the drop-dead date passes, that extra value add goes away without impacting the original price quote. It's a way to create urgency without devaluing your core offering. Tip number 86. Close them until they ask for you to stop. I'm a strong closer. I'll ask for the deal until the prospect tells me to stop or signs the contract. I don't have any special magic when it comes to asking for the deal. I just ask for it, and then I keep asking and asking and asking. Persistence pays off. Tip number 87. Is it the price or the terms? Price objections are as old as selling itself. Often a prospect will object to the price, but the terms are actually the real issue. For example, your offering might cost $10,000 upfront and $2,500 per year after the first year. For 3 years, the prospect is into your deal for $15,000. Maybe paying 66% of this deal upfront is the real problem. I'd pitch the deal for $5,000 a year with a 3-year term. If you can be flexible on terms, you might just get the deal. Tip number 88, don't discount while you close. Lots of sales pros are quick to discount, not me. As I just said, discounts aren't a selling technique I use much. If you're in the final stages of a sales cycle, why would you even be discussing discounts anyway? Pricing should have been discussed much earlier in the process. If the prospect had a price objection, you would have already dealt with it. Sometimes discounts are offered late in the game because the salesperson is simply afraid to ask for the deal. They want the prospect to make a move and think discounting will achieve that first move. Tip number 89, why I hate discounting. Unless it's a national account where a discount program is genuinely justified, I just don't discount. The issue is that if your service is fairly priced, you really shouldn't have to. Another reason is that buyers often talk about the deals they have with vendors. That's you. You'll look really bad if client A finds out they paid more than client B did for the exact same thing. I've been in those meetings where this topic was discussed, and it can be brutal. Don't discount if you don't have to. Protect your perceived value. Tip number 90, add value. If a prospect is that close to buying and needs a way to feel like they won something, throw something in. Maybe an extra day of training or a couple extra months on the subscription or whatever you can dream up without giving too much away. It's a small gesture that can seal the deal. Tip number 91, when to use the boss. I used to have a sales boss who only wanted to spend time with me during the last week of each quarter. We were a publicly traded company and had Wall Street expectations to manage. He'd fly into town, laugh it up with my prospects, and play the big shot role pretty well. But honestly, he wasn't adding value to my deal at that late stage. I didn't need him then. I could have used him when the real blocking and tackling was going on early in the process. Use your management strategically, not just at the end. Tip number 92, buying signals. One clear sign that a deal is ready to close is when the prospect runs out of objections, questions, and other time-consuming tactics. Remember, good sales pros are excellent listeners. Zone in on what they're saying. When they're done talking, that's your cue. Go for the close. Tip number 93, is your contact really the buyer? Have you ever had that nagging feeling that your contact isn't really the guy or the gal? It's happened to most of us, especially in large companies. You settle in with someone who claims to be the final decision maker. Later, you get that sick feeling in your stomach that you've been played. They might be an influencer on the deal, but they are not the decision maker. Early on, make sure you truly understand who is going to play each key role in the buying process. Tip number 94, going around your guy. If the deal has stalled and appears to be going cold, I might consider going over my contact's head. In some cases, it could be like burning a bridge, but it's your call to make. I've done it many times, some with great results, others that came back to bite me. It's a high-risk, potentially high-reward move you need to weigh carefully. Tip number 95, know the buyer's calendar. It stinks to count on a deal closing, only to find out your prospect is gone for 2 weeks on vacation. As you build a relationship with your prospect, keep up to date on the status of their calendar. You'll have no problem getting that information if your sale has been properly nurtured. Tip number 96, competition woes. Johnny come lately. It happens. I hate it, but it happens. You're close to a deal and bam! A last-minute competitor pops up. You have to remain cool and confident at times like this. If you truly know your service and your market, you'll likely be well-equipped to handle the situation. It's a crappy spot to be in, but stay in control of your emotions. Don't let it fluster you. Tip number 97, know when to give up. Sound familiar? You're so focused on one deal that it's carved a permanent place on your sales forecast. Sometimes we have to know when to drop a prospect and just move on. It hurts because of the level of effort involved in selling. But in the long run, you'll feel better about making the decision to move on and focus on more promising opportunities. Tip number 98, I'm in the neighborhood. Have a deal teetering on being closed? Get in there and pick up that signed order form. Some of my favorite sales memories are bringing home a signed order form for a new sale. It's so much better than a fax or an overnight delivery. I simply call my prospect, tell them I'll be in the neighborhood, even if it means driving all night across 3 states. Don't laugh, I've done it. Then I bring them the paperwork. It shows commitment and secures the deal. Tip number 99, done deal. You've just picked up your order or received it electronically. Immediately make sure every initial, mark, and signature line is completed correctly. There is nothing worse than having a signed deal held up, meaning you don't get paid, because the paperwork isn't correct. Take the time to check that the order is truly in order before you start celebrating. And the final tip, tip number 100, say thank you. My handwriting is really, really bad. However, it doesn't stop me from writing thank you notes to my new clients. I write to each member of the buyer's team I interacted with. You'll be amazed at how much clients appreciate the effort you've made, bad handwriting or not. It's a simple, powerful gesture. When I was a sales manager, I regularly went with my direct reports on sales calls. I used to cringe when obvious buying signals from the prospect were not identified by the sales representative, or even worse, ignored. That, of course, provided a coaching opportunity. But I'm sure many sales have been lost simply because the sales professional didn't know when to close the deal. Don't let that be you. Bonus section, getting past the gatekeeper. All right, let's talk about something super common in sales gatekeepers. In business-to-business sales, They're everywhere. They can be administrators, lower-level managers, or even really cautious switchboard operators. It can happen in business-to-consumer sales, too. Think spouses or close friends. They're just a part of selling, and most sales professionals just aren't very good at dealing with them. But if you can flip one from being an adversary to an asset, you're going to see dramatic results in your sales efforts. Here's bonus tip number one. Do your homework. Do you know the target's bio? What boards do they serve on? Who serves on their board? Who else do they know? Try to find a connection, like a board member who's an executive of an existing client, or a member of a board of an existing client. Then, you can use an intro like this: "Hello, Mary, we are currently working with XYZ Company, and your board member Jim Smith also serves on XYZ Company's board. I would like to schedule 15 minutes with George to share the value we are bringing to XYZ and how ABC Company can achieve similar results." It shows you've done your research and have a legitimate reason for calling. Bonus tip number two, use the gatekeeper for a specific initiative. You'll add a lot of value in the eyes of the gatekeeper if they believe you genuinely know what you're talking about. Try this approach. "Hello, Mary, I was referred to George, but I'm actually certain he's not the person I should initially be speaking with. We're currently working with companies such as name one or two similar companies you're working with. Would you be able to direct me to the appropriate person within George's organization who would handle this initiative? Great. Would you mind transferring me to her?" If you get transferred, the person or their admin will see the call coming from the CEO's assistant and will almost certainly pick up. It's a clever way to leverage their role. Bonus. Tip number three, voicemail can work sometimes. If you're transferred and end up in voicemail, do leave a voicemail stating your reference from Mary in George's office. The person receiving the voicemail doesn't know you cold called their company. They only know that the boss's gatekeeper referred you to them, and you're likely to get a call back. It changes the dynamic completely. Bonus tip number four, block your phone ID. Yes, many people think executives won't answer blocked calls. Wrong. They often answer, thinking it's a call they may be expecting. It can be a useful tactic to get past screens. And finally, for the gatekeeper section, bonus tip number five, call when the gatekeeper isn't there. This includes earlier in the morning, during lunchtime, and late afternoon or evening. These are times when the gatekeeper is less likely to be at their desk. I've done a lot of service selling at 7 a.m. weekdays and on Fridays after 5 p.m. Your prospect is going to be impressed that you called before or after traditional working hours, showing your dedication. You know, selling to an owner or executive in most companies is going to require going through a gatekeeper. Early in my sales career, my approach to dealing with gatekeepers was kind of like driving a bulldozer through a nitroglycerin factory. Definitely not pretty. I hate to think about how much I cost myself by not knowing the correct way to work with, not around, gatekeepers. It's a skill worth mastering. Second bonus, quick pitch builder. All right, for our second bonus section, let's talk about the quick pitch builder. We all need a fast sales pitch, right? Whether it's for cold calling, trade show prospecting, or other unexpected opportunities, you absolutely need a well-written and rehearsed quick pitch about what you're selling. It doesn't get any easier than this simple fill-in-the-blanks format. Here's how it works. I work with your client market, who struggles with common client issues, and who would like to client's goals. What separates me from my competitors is that I your value proposition, and as a result, my clients get why your clients love you. Let me give you an example to make it clear. I work with retirement plan companies who have a hard time generating sales leads to grow their businesses. They want a results-driven marketing agency that doesn't damage their reputation. My solution is unique because my database contacts recognize me as a trusted source of relevant industry information. As a result, my clients receive high-quality sales leads, and the database contacts learn new ways to improve their retirement plans. See how powerful that is? Just fill in your own details. Thanks so much for listening. If even one idea here helped you slow things down and see your business more clearly, then it was truly worth it. You don't need more pressure. You need tools that cut through the noise and help you lead with confidence. And that's exactly what Kevinix is built to deliver. Keep going. You're doing the hard part. You're showing up. Keep leading and keep selling. Thanks for listening. If even one idea here helped you slow things down and see the business more clearly, it was worth it. You don't need more pressure. You need tools that cut through the noise and help you lead with confidence. That's what Kevinix is built to deliver. Keep going. You're doing the hard part. You're showing up. This material is for licensees only and may not be shared, copied, or distributed without written permission.